When the Sea Runs Dry by Tayla, narrated by Rhea314, Fandom, Ultimate Note, The Grave Robbers Chronicles, The Lost Tomb Reboot. Rating explicit, no archive warnings apply. Pairings, Wang Pengzi, Zhang Qiling, and Wang Pengzi, Wu Xie, Zhang Qiling. It's the middle of the night, and the village lies silent and dark. The smell of explosives still lingers in the air. He doesn't expect it'll ever leave. It will settle in the roofs of the houses, the packed dirt of the paths. We'll mark this place with an irremovable reminder of the change that Wuxie brought. Marking places, marking people, Wuxie has a habit of doing that. Zhang Qiling has known him for long enough to have come to the conclusion that Wuxie is unaware of it. Like you can't feel the wind at the center of a storm, Wuxie can't grasp the impact he has on his surroundings. Still, the lives he touches rarely stay the same. Zhang Qiling's didn't. It's no exaggeration to say that he doesn't remember a life without Wuxie. His earliest clear memory is of Wuxie. Wuxie and Pengzi, in a Beijing hospital that smelled of sickness and sadness. He can't place any of the memories he has from his earlier life. None of them are clear enough to really be called memories. But even some of those have the distinct feeling of Wuxie's presence about them. For Zhang Qiling, it's a presence that means belonging. It's not as much a sentiment as it is a fact. He's drawn to Wuxie like a river is drawn towards the ocean. He doesn't struggle with it. It feels natural, energies aligning to uphold a balance that allows him to exist in peace. Like all balances, it's easily disturbed. And like all balances, it tends to return to a calm state eventually. It's been long enough that he can meet occasional disturbances with the confidence that they'll be temporary. There's nothing that could permanently upset this equilibrium. Nothing beyond death. The thought grinds his contemplations to a halt. He hefts the knife in his hand and lets fly. It slices through the air, lands with a thwack in the center of the cross he's drawn on the side of one of the houses. As he goes to retrieve it, he inspects the hole he's carved over the last hour. He may need a new target soon. Ah, Xiaoge, shouldn't you have used a tree? The voice comes from behind him. It doesn't surprise him. He heard the approaching steps, a sense impression so familiar he paid it no conscious attention. As he turns around, Pengzi, standing next to the low wall, Zhang Qiling was using as a distance marker. He's got his hands in his pockets, shoulders slumping under his colorful shirt. His phone is tucked into his shirt pocket, torchlit to illuminate the way. Zhang Qiling raises a hand to avoid the harsh light. You've put a big fucking dent in that house. Pengzi comes shuffling over, frowns at the hole. Way to abuse these people's hospitality. Zhang Qiling's eyes wander over to the truck-sized hole in the same wall a few feet away, left over from a grenade explosion. Pengzi follows his gaze and huffs. All right, whatever. Then he just stands there, silent, and stares at his own feet. Zhang Qiling holds still, patiently waits for whatever Pengzi came here to say. Unlike Wuxie, Pengzi does not feel like an ocean Zhang Qiling is drawn to. Pengzi is another river, steady and consistent at Zhang Qiling's side as they both make their way to their shared destination. Zhang Qiling wonders if Pengzi would relate if he described this image to him. For once, Pengzi doesn't seem in the mood to talk. Instead, he holds out a palm. Can I have a go? Zhang Qiling hands over the knife. He accompanies Peng Zi back to the low wall, watches him take up position. He's fully facing the house, shoulders square. He pulls back his hand like he's holding an axe rather than a knife. His throw misses by several feet, the handle of the knife bonking against the wood. The blade drops into high grass, and Zhang Qiling suppresses a sigh. It'll take a while to find it. "Whoops," says Peng Zi. He comes over to help and retrieves the knife more quickly than expected. He's not handing it over, though. Instead, weighs it in his palm. "Will you show me?" Zhang Qiling searches his face. He's seen Peng Zi throw knives and swords with much more skill than demonstrated just now. He's not sure why Peng Zi would pretend to be unskilled, even less sure why he'd ask for lessons he doesn't need. On the other hand, it is a simpler request. He trusts Peng Zi not to have any malicious intentions. He returns to the spot next to the wall, stands sideways with his shoulder towards the house. Peng Zi stands in front of him, in a similar position, demonstrating his knowledge of a proper knife-throwing stance. Zhang Qiling steps closer, brings his chest against Peng Zi's back. Peng Zi's body is warm, smells faintly of a long day spent in humid jungle heat. It catches him off guard in its familiarity. They've been close like this on many occasions, at times even closer. It's something he knows, something he trusts and treasures, a part of the balance he was thinking about earlier. Right now, of course, something is missing. It's never just the two of them. Wuxie is always there, a fulcrum perfectly centered between them. He runs a hand along Peng Zi's arm, which he's lifted in the correct position already, proving that he doesn't need this lesson. He wraps his hand around Peng Zi's wrist, cups his other hand against the side of his head to turn it towards the target. "Visualize," he says, low into Peng Zi's ear. Peng Zi huffs, a motion Zhang Qiling can feel in his entire body. "What if I pictured Tianjin's face over there? You think it'll help?" He freezes, holds perfectly still in this perfunctory embrace. He can feel his own heartbeat in his chest, steady as it's always been, as it will continue to be long after Peng Zi's has stopped, much longer even after Wuxie's has. Peng Zi cranes his neck, tries to catch his eyes. "Xiaoguo," he says, pulls away a little. "I wasn't being serious." Zhang Qiling doesn't think that's true. Not entirely, anyway. It's unsettling how much he understands Peng Zi's anger. Peng Zi's brow creases. He steps back. "You're mad at him, too." He jabs a finger into Zhang Qiling's shoulder. "Why the hell are you mad at him? He told you what was going on." Zhang Qiling doesn't resist the nudge of Peng Zi's jab, lets himself be pushed off balance. It allows him to take a step back, bring a safe distance between them. He searches Peng Zi's face, tries to decide if Peng Zi is angry at him, too, for being the one Wuxie chose to share his secret with. Peng Zi's anger doesn't seem to have a target, though, outside of Wuxie. He exhales, flexes his grip around the knife's handle. "The worst thing is, I know why he told you and not me. It's because you're both the fucking same, isn't it? Can't string two words together when it matters." Zhang Qiling doesn't move. Tension settles between his shoulder blades, spreads down into his fingers and hands. If Peng Zi is looking for a fight, the only kind he can offer is physical. Peng Zi knows this, just like he knows that in a fight, Zhang Qiling won't hold back. It's not how he does things. At least, he hopes Peng Zi knows this. Wuxie does. Wuxie knows not to ask him for things he doesn't want or can't handle. It's been their silent understanding for years. Maybe the assumption that Peng Zi understands this too is misguided. Perhaps the hope that even if the ocean disappears, he won't be the only river left in the world is wrong. The only place rivers converge, after all, is the sea. He reaches out, takes the knife from Pongzi. He's quick about it, doesn't leave Pongzi any time to react. He flings it at the target, barely looking, and grabs the back of Pongzi's neck with his other hand. Hey! He silences Pongzi with a kiss. This is a familiar ritual, something they can use to tie a tether across the distance between them, something that doesn't require words or shared context. Of course, it's never just them. Wuxie is always there. His absence now is a vacuum, threatening to take Zhang Qiling's breath away. So when Pongzi responds, bites at his lips and grabs him by the waist to push him backwards, he's no less than grateful. They stumble towards the low wall. Zhang Qiling uses the momentum to spin them around, pushes Pongzi down to sit, and drops to his knees between his feet. Suddenly, Pongzi's hands are cupping his face, fingertips trailing along his jawline. The sharp bite of teeth disappears from the kiss. A tremor runs down his spine, makes his skin prickle. Pongzi's mouth is soft, even the tickle of his stubble no more than that. His tongue trails over a tender spot where he buried his teeth and Zhang Qiling's lip only a moment ago. Zhang Qiling reaches out, tries to find purchase. His palms land on Pongzi's thighs, warm under the rough folds of his trousers. He put a lot on you. Pongzi's voice is low, his hands gentle as he cups the side of Zhang Qiling's neck, calloused fingertips finding tender spots just underneath his hairline. He knew you wouldn't say, couldn't say, not to anyone but him, and he wasn't going to talk about it. There's a pause. Zhang Qiling feels the humid jungle air like a knife in his throat. Pongzi's breath brushing against his cheek as he speaks. Did you try? He nods. Wuxie called, and he came, and found him in that village in the mountains. The first thing he did was try to speak to him, ask him how he was, because he knew Wuxie would never just say. But even then, all Wuxie wanted to do was investigate the treasure chamber. It's like he asked Zhang Qiling to come back just so he would help him pretend that nothing was wrong. And of course, Zhang Qiling did. If this is what Wuxie needs, he won't keep it from him. It gives him nowhere to put his fear, though. He's being asked to sit still while a mudslide is coming to bury him. Every part of him is tensed, poised to bolt at a split second's notice. He is pretending that everything is fine. It's beginning to take its toll. He reaches up, takes Pongzi's wrist to push his hands away, pulls him in for another rough kiss, finds his button and fly. As he slides his hand in, Pongzi is soft in his palm, so he curls his fingers in the hair on the back of his neck and pulls his head back to expose his throat. Xiaoge. Pongzi's voice is guttural. Zhang Qiling can feel his throat vibrate under his lips as he licks and bites at it, moves his hand and is rewarded with supple flesh growing hard under his fingers. It's a mostly silent affair. Pongzi's breathing grows ragged, his hands trembling in Zhang Qiling's hair and on his back. They stay gentle, though. Even clutching Zhang Qiling's shoulders as Zhang Qiling uses well-aimed flicks of his thumb to draw his climax out, Pongzi's touch never turns rough. Warmth spills over Zhang Qiling's knuckles, and he digs his teeth into soft flesh as he strokes Pongzi through it. Then it's done, and there's no reason to stay close. He sinks back on his heels, absent-mindedly wipes his hand on the grass under his knees. Pongzi, flushed and out of breath, just looks at him. There are tears on his face. He does all these things with such ease, laughter, sadness, cheer, anger. As the wetness on Pong Tzu's face captures the flicker of a faraway light, Zhang Qiling feels a deep, overwhelming jealousy. If he could put his fear into tears, perhaps it'd be easier to pretend for Wu Xie. Xiaoge. Pong Tzu wipes his nose with the back of his hand. He buttons himself back up, makes no move to try and reciprocate. Zhang Qiling is grateful to be known at least that much. He does touch him, though, cups his big warm hand against the side of Zhang Qiling's face again. Zhang Qiling can feel his thumb against his temple. It's familiar, something to fill at least part of the hole inside Zhang Qiling's chest. "We'll just have to save him," Pong Tzu says. His voice wavers, his lips pull into a shaky laugh. "You're good at that, Xiaoge. You've done it a million times. What's one more?" The unshakable faith in Pong Tzu's voice is a front. Xiaoge knows this, has known Pong Tzu for long enough not to be fooled. Perhaps, though, this is Pong Tzu pretending for him, giving him this closeness, the belief that they can win this one. He won't refuse this gift. Closes his eyes, lowers his head in a single firm nod, gets to his feet. He said all he was going to say, doesn't know what more to give or take from this exchange. He's about to turn away when he thinks of something, after all. He stops, glances back. "I won't leave." The words weigh heavy on his tongue. Leaving is a refuge. He knows that once Wu Xie is gone, it's all he'll want to do. He also knows, though, that once Wu Xie is gone, Pong Tzu will feel just as untethered. "I will stay," he says, "if you do." Pong Tzu's face crumples into such despair that Zhang Qiling, for a moment, regrets saying anything at all. There's no protest, though. Just a sniff, and then a small, silent nod. Zhang Qiling returns to the skewered cross on the wall of the house to retrieve his knife. As he walks back through the darkness, he keeps his eyes fixed on the ground. When he reaches the low wall, Pong Tzu is gone. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening.